Let us turn to the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, and continue our reading from this chapter where we left last week. Leviticus chapter 15. Let us hear the word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man has a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue he is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in his issue, whether his flesh run with his issue, or his flesh be stopped from his issue. It is his uncleanness. Every bed whereon he lieth that has the issue is unclean, and everything whereon he sitteth shall be unclean. And whosoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And he that sitteth on anything whereon he sat that has the issue shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And he that touches the flesh of him that has the issue shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And if he that has the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And what saddle soever he rideth upon that has the issue shall be unclean. And whosoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until the even. And he that beareth any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And whomsoever he touches that has the issue and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And the vessel of earth that he touches which has the issue shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he that has an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. And on the 8th day he shall take to him 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, or and come before the Lord unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and give them unto the priest. And the priest shall offer them, the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord for his issue. And if any man's seed of copulation go out from him, then he shall wash all his flesh in water, and be unclean until the even. And every garment and every skin whereon is the seed of copulation shall be washed with water, and be unclean until the even. The woman also with whom man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water, and be unclean until the even. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever touches her bed, her bed shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. And if it be on her bed, or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the even. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days. and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue, shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever touches those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bath himself in water, and be unclean until the even. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the 8th day she shall take unto her 2 turtles, or 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue of her uncleanness. Thus shall ye separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness, when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law of him that has an issue, and of him whose seed goeth from him, and is defiled therewith. And of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that has an issue, of the man, and of the woman, and of him that lies with her that is unclean. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us all. Now the chapter before us is clearly describing the subject, and it is obviously not easy for us to deal with all these details, but it is obvious that this is what God has provided for his people. These are procedures so to them in Israel to be cleansed from these bodily discharges that are described. You can easily divide this chapter in the first portion up to verse 18 regarding what is described by men, for men, and from verse 19 onward to 30 what is described for women. And there is a sort of conclusion in the last 3 verses that we may want to take on board as well. So, what do we do with these details for us today? Well, as we have said already for the previous chapters, especially for those who were not here with us, the Lord, you remember, has been dealing so far in so many details, in many areas of life. It was started with the tabernacle and with the priest and the animals and the sacrifices and what was clean and unclean. All these things the Israelites had to learn. But the main subject and the main idea was always holiness, separation from God, or access to God. The way to be in the presence of the Lord was determined by God. There was always, in all these chapters and careful description for God's people to be cleansed and to know that there was something defiling them for which they were not able to be in the presence of God. So this is all that has been pointed out. You remember especially the chapter, the last few chapters regarding the leper and leprosy. The experience of these people was indeed awful. They could see in their own body the consequences of sin, and they were not allowed to be in the presence of God. They had to be away from the camp. They had to live in loneliness and in a very difficult situation, until the point when God Himself would heal them. There was no other hope but God's healing for the leprous man or woman. And so there was, again, because of this leprosy and the healing from this leprosy, there was a connection with the tabernacle and with the sacrifices. The point was not so much the need for the doctor or the priest that would come. It was not the priest healing the lepers, but it was God. And it was all pictured with through the sacrifices and the blood shed and the way of cleansing. And the idea that these people in Israel had to realize cleansing from sin came from God, from a substitute, and with the shedding of blood. And we have the same here in this chapter. The Lord is even going into details of life for men and women in such a way to point out that there is sin everywhere. We cannot escape from this. And I quote again a text in Hebrews chapter 8, so that we remember that these things for us now are not to be taken literally, but are to point our minds to heavenly things. We need to understand the spiritual meaning for the people of Israel here described for us. Hebrews 8 verse 5. These things serve as Paul is writing there, referring to the Old Testament and the sacrifices, obviously. And then here he says, these things serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. The tabernacle and all its laws and the sacrifices were given to point to heavenly things. And so obviously we don't have in this chapter a suggestion on how we should wash ourselves only. It is, and for them especially, they had to take the spiritual lesson behind it all. Otherwise, what would have been the reason for, as we have read, the sacrifices, the fact of making an atonement? There was an uncleanness that was ceremonial uncleanness. That's what they were learning in approaching God, in being in the presence of the tabernacle. At times, and for certain reasons, and for all that we have read so far, there was a problem. There was uncleanness. God said, you can't come like this. You notice and you watch this, you be careful for this and that, because I don't accept this. And so Israel was learning bit by bit, continually, that God was a holy God. And He was pleased with holy people. And that they had to cleanse themselves and that they had to be careful with sin. We are going to sing from Psalm 24 at the end, but I'll read for you a few verses of Psalm 24. What was God saying to His people? Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. That's God. That's who He is. He's the Creator. He's the Lord of all. He's the Creator of you and me and all the world and all that dwell therein. And then David continues and asks this question. Because of God and who He is, he says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? you almost can hear the answer and the consequence as you are going through Leviticus, and as God is describing all these illnesses and uncleannesses and difficulties in life. And the answer comes from David, verse 4. He that has clean hands and pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Here we are in the desert with Israel, the people of God who have been delivered from Egypt. God has delivered them and saved them, and now he's teaching them to be clean, to remember that their God is a holy God who delights in holiness. So let us go through briefly, without, for obvious reasons, not going into so many details, but let's see a few things regarding the description of men's issues, and then the women from verse 19 onward, and then look at the conclusion in the last few verses. We were already mentioning last time, we learn in the first 18 verses from what we have read and the details that God is giving to men. Obviously, imagine these people listening to what God said through Moses and coming to hear that they had to listen these things that were so personal, so intimate. And that's where we are to come and remember that is what sin is. God said for all these things to men, he said, when this happens, you are unclean. And these people in Israel were hearing things that were so personal, so intimate about themselves, that no one would know. Sin is such. Sin is personal. It's something that is coming out of your own self, and you cannot control, and it is a very precise aspect of your sinful nature. There's something of sin that you only know, and God personally, of yourself. So sin is personal, but not only this, also sin is contagious. Verse 4, in the first three verses, that's what God said before coming into the place of the ark. Verses 1 to 3, God says clearly to his people, this shall be, if this is happening, this shall be uncleanness. This issue for you, it will be considered uncleanness. But it is spiritual uncleanness. It is ceremonial uncleanness, because God says through Moses, speak to these people and say, they cannot come in my presence. So they immediately had to consider, if this is sinful, this is in me, this is personal, it is so intimate. But also, notice in verse 4, every bed whereon he lieth has an issue, is unclean. And so not only this issue is personal to you, but it is also defiling everything you touch. And that is exactly what sin is contagious. That's what sinful behavior is. Sin is easily spread from your actions to others, and others will learn sin. And it's no wonder that sinful habits and behaviors are often in this world more spread when in company. When in multitude of people, they look for company, because to sin alone brings shame at times. But if you have more people with you, and sin becomes contagious easily, and it makes things easier in your own eyes, not certainly in God's eyes. So, more than this, when we reach verse 13 and 15, there's God saying, when he that has an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and so on. So there is a clear description of how to be cleansed. And that's the point God is giving to them. Sin is not only personal and contagious, but it's also making you unclean, filthy. You need cleansing, because they have learned, even in previous examples, that sin brings to death. If you were to go in God's presence in such a way, and without being careful of what God said, you would be dead. That's the consequence. Sin is deadly. You can't get rid of this consequence. And so there is all this description and details to bring to mind they had to be washed. They had to use water, wash the clothes, wash himself, and be careful to do this for 7 days. And then on the 8th day, there comes the appointing of the sacrifice, the need for the blood, the shedding of blood. So this is obviously all again pointing to the holiness of life and the holiness of God, and that without this sacrifice you could not be in the tabernacle, in the presence of God. So all this has been said about men and their details, but it is in some measure repeated also from verse 19 regarding women. There is no basic difference in what God is saying, because in fact, although different in the outward manifestation of these issues because of women, the condition of sin is the same for them too. And so God is speaking in these verses from 19 to 30 basically of the same principles. They were defiled when these things and some manifestations occurred in women's body. They had to consider themselves unclean. They were unfitted to be in God's presence. And so imagine the heavy impression that in Israel men and women had routinely, continually, month after month. There was a point in their life when they had to stop and think, well, I can't be in the presence of God. I need a sacrifice. I need to be careful here. All that may be hidden from others, and it is personal to me, God knows. And I have to be honest with him, and I have to stop and not spread this and cleanse myself and clean myself. And be careful with God, for he is a tremendous, holy God who seeks holiness. And so, especially regarding this passage of women, you can see better how what we read in Mark Gospel is so fitting for the times of Christ. And for this woman that we have read, that she had an issue of blood for 12 years. You can imagine the consequences of all this, having read this chapter in Leviticus. You can imagine this woman, how she considered herself, how she was grieved of her own sin, of her own uncleanness, how she could not share with others her life, how she had to be careful, everything that she would touch, how she had to be careful in her own daily life. It must have been very sore and spiritually heavy to bear. Surely she would ask herself, how can I ever be cleansed for my sins? Is there any solution for this? She went to many doctors. She asked for many advice. She paid all she had. No change. 12 years, it's a long time. And see what happens with Christ? She comes to Him and she does something that she should have not been doing. And so we come to the end of this chapter, where the Lord says from verse 31, "You shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness." Imagine Israel, how often and how normal it was for God's people there to have constantly those who were out of the camp, those who were unclean. If someone had to look at the camp outside, from outside, and inquire what was going on, it was a clear picture of what God did not accept. God wanted holy people cleansed in His presence, in the tabernacle that was in the middle. And so, to all Israel, every time it was so clear that there was a time when somebody was outside of the camp, when somebody was watching for their own sins, when they had to spend these 7 days in washing and using water and cleansing from their own sins. And even though you were not in that position, you knew what it was. Everyone had to be aware of sin. Nobody wanted to be defiled by it. And everyone had to learn how to fix this and be called clean through these sacrifices. Should we not today, as we read Psalm 24 and as we read in the New Testament, things about holiness, and I'll quote shortly something in Corinthians, should we not today be even more careful about sin? Although we are not to apply literally these chapters in Leviticus, but that's the idea God is giving us, isn't it? Are we the Lord's people? Are we cleansed? Do we continually wash ourselves in the blood of Christ and with the water of the Spirit, using the means that God has provided for us, like prayer and the Word of God and time with God in confession of our own sins? Are we so careful, as Israel was taught to be careful over sin, their personal sins, continually? Think again of this woman we read in Mark chapter 5. She was unworthy not only to come near Christ, but even to touch Him. She did something that she was ashamed of, and she knew she should have not touched Christ. But she hoped and had faith. She saw the Lord as the healer indeed. And she was right. He only is the Lord of glory that can take away your and mine filthiness. That's nothing else than the idea of these images in Leviticus that were pointing to a sacrifice that had to come. It is the work of the Spirit, the water used and the blood shed and the atonement made, so to make these people clean. Here He came, the Lord Jesus. He shed His blood. The sacrifice has been made. And the Spirit of God has been sent after He rose again. Are we using this by faith? Are we even with shame for our own sin, going to Christ like this woman and touch Him with a faith that will make us whole. Christ commanded this woman and He said, "You have been made whole." We need His touch. We need to trust Him, to be cleansed, to be washed, to be regenerated, but also continually to be continually purified by the work of His own Spirit. We need to be living a life of sanctification. It doesn't work once trusted in Christ only, but we need the continuous washing of our own sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. When Paul is writing to this church, he says, "Having therefore these promises that he has been listed about Christ, he says, 'Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.'" That shouldn't surprise us, my friends, because once we are in Christ and once we have been saved by the blood of the cross, we still need to take away our filthiness daily, continually. Just as Paul says, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Yes, it is a lifelong work. It is what we have been studying about sanctification. It is God's work, but it is your work too. It is your effort to constantly obey the Lord's impulse through His Spirit, to shun away from sin and to spot it where it comes all the time when it happens, and have the faith to look to Christ and to touch Him and to believe that His blood cleanses us from all things. Let us go to Christ today once more again as we read of this filthiness of sin that is so personal to us and it is so within us, whereby we cannot have any hope but to look to Him. Our only hope is approaching Christ, coming closer to Him, even without words, like this woman, and wash ourselves and let Christ, as He did with His disciples. You remember how Peter was shocked that Christ was washing his feet? No, he had to understand that he was in need to be washed continually, again and again. Let us take to heart the Apostle Peter when he's writing to his in his second letter in chapter 3. He says this: "Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved," speaking of this world, "what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." The Israelites knew that the tabernacle was the presence of God, and they had to be clean before approaching that. But that's only the picture of heaven. It's what you and I desire. It's what you and I, who believe, have been promised. And so that's your duty here on earth. As you walk and you see heavens approaching, and you understand that all these things are going to be dissolved, let us be holy in all conversation and godliness, looking for the coming day of our Savior.